Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Today we're celebrating the capstone in the archway of Christianity, an event which, if it did not happen, really reduces Christianity to nothing more than a nice fairy tale. But if it did happen, it's the greatest feat in all of human history. Our gospel lesson today, as we just heard, have the women coming to the tomb looking for the body of Jesus. And the angel said to them, "He's not here, he's risen." One of the New Tampa Christian Church's preschool teachers came to her pastor. She said, "Pastor Freddie, I need to tell you that one of our 4-year-old girls said in class." "Go ahead," he said. She told him that she was teaching the class about the resurrection of Jesus, and she asked if anyone knew what the angel said to the women who came to the tomb looking for Jesus. One of the girls excitedly raised her hand and said, I know. "What did the angel say to the women when they wanted to know where Jesus was?" asked the teacher. The little girl responded proudly, "He's not here, he's in prison." Well, Luke tells us today that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed, and he's not in prison. Luke tells us today that the angel said, "He's not here, he's risen." And we're celebrating the fact that Jesus is not the person, is not in the prison of death, but he is risen. When we look at all the gospel accounts, we see that the apostles and disciples had given up everything to follow Jesus. They had put their whole life in his hands. And now that he was crucified, they felt like that their life had kind of ended, that all their hope in him had been dashed. Their hope was destroyed because Jesus was nailed to the cross. Some watched him beaten nearly to death. Some saw him with a crown of thorns on his head. Others saw him as he had to carry the cross toward the place of his crucifixion. Some saw him nailed to the cross and being raised up, and others saw him die an agonizingly slow death, then being taken down from the cross. Some saw him being taken to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, where he was wrapped in strips of linen and put in the tomb. They saw a stone rolled in front of the tomb, weighing probably close to 1 ton. They saw the Roman authorities putting a seal around the tomb to make sure no one got into the tomb, to make sure it was not tampered with on the threat of death. They saw that there were guards placed around the tomb. And so they realized that their life really was changed because Christ was now dead. The followers of Jesus were hopeless. Their dreams had vanished. Their lives were thrown into uncertainty. Their trust in religion was shaken. But then 3 days later, that all changed. They had forgotten that Jesus said that he was going to raise himself up from the dead. They'd forgotten that Jesus had indeed done miraculous things, that he had raised Lazarus from the dead. But that was all behind them now because Jesus was dead. They knew that he was dead. At least that's what they thought they knew. What they didn't know was that on that Easter Sunday morning, the stone miraculously was rolled away. The body of Jesus came back to life again, leaving those wrappings wrapped as if a body was inside of them, but no body was in there. And Jesus then began to appear to people. He appeared to Mary. He appeared to the 11 disciples. He appeared to over 500 people at one time. Certainly, 500 people could not be mistaken about seeing the risen Jesus. He ate with them, he drank with them, he allowed them to touch him, to touch the wounds in his side, in his hands, in his feet. All of a sudden, they had hope again. They realized that Jesus was everything that he said he was: Messiah, Savior, Lord, Christ, the King. Their hope was restored, so much so that they were willing to tell anyone that they could what they had seen with their own eyes. They turned the world upside down, causing Christianity to become the fastest growing religion in all of human history. Their lives were transformed from cowardly, fearful, hopeless disciples into now courageous lions of the faith, willing to die for what they knew to be true, and now I believed. Almost all of them suffered death because of their testimony. That many people would not have been willing to die for what they knew was a lie. Nor would they have perpetuated a religion founded on the truth and righteousness of its leader if they knew that he didn't rise from the dead, as they were claiming. So what changed in this pivotal moment of history? Obviously, the resurrection. The resurrection vindicated Jesus' claims for himself, that he was the Son of God, that he was the fulfillment of all that had come before him, that he was the fulfillment of God's dealings with humankind. No longer would people have to follow rules and traditions to find salvation. The old covenant had now been superseded by a new covenant of grace through faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. The proof of that was in the resurrection. Because Jesus lives, he is the Messiah, the Savior, the one we can trust. Another way to look at this question is to ask, what would be different if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? Well, if there had been no resurrection, Christianity as we know it would cease to exist. It would simply be people following the writings of a popular Jewish rabbi. And those writings would be writings amongst many that have been written by religious leaders throughout the history. People would be left with no other option for salvation other than to strive for absolute obedience. But the resurrection changed everything. People following Christ, follow Christ's teachings not to become saved, but because they are saved. They've discovered something even better than knowing his words, and that is knowing him themselves personally, because he is the Word of God. Because he is raised from the dead, we can be raised as well. We can live, we can really live, not only now, but also throughout eternity. So let me ask you, on what do you put your hope? On your family? On your friends? On your career? On your health? On the stock market? On the lottery? On politicians? On your belief that this life is all that there is and there is no life after death? Maybe you hope or believe that it's all going to work out in the end without really knowing why you believe that. But why would you put your hope in something so uncertain, when you can put your hope in the one who conquered death and who promised to give eternal life to anyone who believed in him? So what if I'm wrong about Jesus Christ? What if you believe in him, you put your hope in him, and you put your trust in him, and it turns out not to be true? Well, really, if you think about it, you've lost nothing more than a few carnal pleasures that you might have given up in this life, because when you die, you cease to exist, and so it won't matter anyway. But if I'm right, consequences of rejecting Jesus are far more dangerous as well as eternal. It makes more sense to think that life continues past this world if you think about who Jesus is, what he said, and what he did. Along with fulfilling over 300 ancient prophecies that were written hundreds and thousands of years before he was born, Jesus certainly showed that he was the Messiah by fulfilling those prophecies. He did the only thing that could give us the assurance of hope for the future, and that is conquering death. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Hank Hanegraaff, the president of the Christian Research Institute, said one time, "The resurrection is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. It elevates Christianity above all other world religions. Through the resurrection, Christ demonstrated that he does not stand in a line of peers with Abraham, Buddha, Confucius, or Muhammad. Jesus Christ is utterly unique. He had the power not only to lay down his life, but also to take it up again." End quote. There was a family who was watching a movie about Jesus, his life, and it was a very realistic portrayal. And as they got to the part where Jesus was being tortured and then ultimately crucified, there was a 6-year-old daughter who was watching the movie, and tears were running down her cheeks, and she watched as they took Jesus down from the cross and put him in the tomb, and then rolled the stone in front of the tomb, and the guards were set, and all of a sudden her eyes brightened. She jumped up on the arm of the chair, and she announced to everybody rather proudly, "Now here comes the good part." Well, we're getting ready to celebrate the good part of the rest of this service today. And the question really I want to leave you with is, what difference has the resurrection made in your life? Has it made any difference at all? Well, may I suggest to you that for the Christian, the resurrection can make all the difference in the world, because that gives us hope to make it through not only the good parts of life, but also the bad parts as well. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us testimony of the reality of who you are, what you've done for us, and by helping us to realize that you indeed are alive and not dead. Lord, help us to continually put our trust in you each day as we walk in the resurrection life that you promised to give to us. We ask this in your most holy name. Amen.